care if you put it in a brown paper bag. I don't care. In a brown paper bag. Yeah. Well, for Kathy, you need to put a couple of handles on it for Kathy to. And somebody needs to help her with her left and right. Are you working on that? You need to put L on this hand and R on this one. This is all on the internet. Usually we find out who's left brained or right brained when we do our Valentine's, because usually, and it's not always Kathy, but most of the time it is, they end up with three or four bags. And you're not supposed to. Somebody ends up with none, somebody ends up with a bunch. And Joyce helps out a little bit back there. So we're all challenged a little bit. In some area, we're all challenged. But bring a gift in a bag, paper bag. We're going to play it inside there. The adults. Because this fall festival is for the kids. All right, but the adults get to sit around for 3 or 4 hours, so we decided we would do a right-left game, and we already got one that's kind of themed toward scarecrows and, you know, fall festival stuff, so, and pumpkins and all that. So
the game?
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You didn't come to the thing. Okay. But we always play it at the... Well, you're the very one that wanted to come and didn't come, so... Hello. Anyway... Yeah. Okay. Statue of a Perfect Man. Those of you that brought your book, turn to paragraph 315. Those of you that didn't, you just waste your life away for the next 30 minutes. Until we get this thing, technology fixed here, bring your book or your tablet with you. And most of you should have it on your phone. I have it on mine if anybody'd like to look at it. Statue of Perfect Man. Huh? You didn't bring your phone.
Do you have a mini HDMI?
Huh? Mini for what? Yeah, but you can't. This thing, once there was an update, this thing cannot talk to that thing. Your thing. Yours? Bring it. Let's see if it'll do it. Because our technically advanced people in this church takes them a couple of weeks to do things, so. Well, that's what this is plugged into, I think. Oh, right there's one.
Nope, USB.
Right there.
Is that USB or HDMI?
Mm-hmm. Turn around. Did you hear that I got you some meat yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Yep, I got you some meat yesterday. Turn it to 14. Go to the next one. One more. That thing is hard to see. That should be it right there.
That's HDMI. Go to USB.
There should be a USB one.
Unless it's not set up on the menu.
It should be.
Might have to set it up. That's the whole scroll through there.
Is that it?
Yeah. We'll work on it later.
Oh, bummer.
Okay. We'll work on it later.
Well, we'll get it.
Thanks for helping, though.
Sorry.
Okay. Let's go to paragraph 315, and we're going to read through paragraph 315. Now, what we're talking about, Statue of Perfect Man, I want you to listen. Did y'all listen to that service Wednesday night? That was past good. I mean, I filled my pad up with notes. But remember, we talked about that last Sunday, right? Did we not? You remember that? We talked about last Sunday, very same thing he was preaching on, except for the overcoming part. Now, what I'm going to do is take the overcoming part and put it in the Statue of a Perfect Man, because these are overcomings, okay? The last overcoming is what? Anybody listening to me? No, that's not what I said. There's eight overcomings, right? The eighth one is what Daddy preached on in Revelation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight is what? You be my son. I'll give you a little snippet of that. That's adoption. This is where adoption happens, not down here. It happens up here. Right? Isn't that what it said? You'll be my son? Okay. And then we can back it through. I was telling Brother Joe, even in this overcoming here, you're in the temple sitting on the throne. Now, what's the throne? The throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? So we'll sit with him in his throne. So just keep that in the back of your mind, because these are truly overcomings. You're overcoming something to have virtue. You're overcoming something to have knowledge. Because what are you overcoming? Who's your biggest enemy?
Me.
Yourself. Yeah, you. No, me. I'm my biggest enemy. I must overcome me, because my Adamic nature throws me contrary to all this. Godly all this. You understand? The godliness part of this. We can have virtue. We can be. There's a lot of people in the world who's real smart, but it's not God smart. Okay? There's a lot of people that has patience. I've even seen people out in the world, like Brother Richard Wilson said, there was a man that worked with him, said he was so meek and humble that if you said, hey, Joe, I'm going to take your paycheck and I'm going to spend it and you're not going to have nothing, he said, well, that's okay. See, that's, to me, that's just a nature born. And I like what Brother Marcus said? Brother Marcus, remember the German that came? Remember he was talking about going back to your family? If your family was blessed, then you'll get a blessing through your family. Or if your family had been cursed somewhere, you got to go. That curse is going to be on your family, right? Brother Bram said, and even the Bible says it goes back so many generations. Good and bad. All right? But now remember, the new birth overcomes that bad. You say, well, my father was a drunk, my grandpa was a... See, that's human. That's something you can't do in this. Okay? But if you get born again, it's not Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not that I'll always be this. No, once you're born again, it's done. That unclean spirit has gone out of you and gone away from you. All right? So, and then if you got the Holy Spirit, it won't let it come back. Sure, you'll be tempted. Honestly, you're going to be tempted. Right? Okay? I was telling you the story, you know, when I started on my journey of a justification, sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he took that desire of the tobacco away from me, chewing tobacco. But now the next day, the next 2 days, the next 3 days, they were, you know, you get around a bunch of smokers and you don't have a cigarette, what's the first thing a smoker does? Want some? Yeah, because you don't have one. You're not with them, so you need a cigarette, you know. No. Well, see, my buddies would say, hey, you don't have a dip in your mouth. You need, no, I don't want it anymore. Had no desire for that anymore. And really, folks, that is in justification and sanctification. That's not in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay? All these, the unclean spirit goes out at sanctification. And I want y'all to pray for me, because in the next few weeks, I got to go do a minister's meeting. And this is what I got to do the subject on, is what happens to the soul, the redemptive process of the soul of man. So I'm going to really have to put a lot in, about an hour's worth of speaking to a bunch of ministers, and I'd rather speak to a bunch of sinners sometimes. That's on the internet, so that's okay. I had. Daddy would too, and all the other preachers. If you're real honest, you'd rather preach to sinners sometimes than a bunch of preachers. Brother Brown said the most problem he ever had was with what? Preachers. Preachers are the problem. And it's true. Preachers are the problem. Because you know what? It's like me and Daddy were talking about Friday night. Your pastor is right here, and you can't go no higher than your pastor. Now, if your pastor's right here, you can forget going any higher unless you go somewhere else. Do you understand that? Brother Bram said you cannot, and some of you have come from other places to hear, knowing that your pastor was just at a certain spot. And he was at that spot, and you were at that spot. Okay? So we must seek someone that's on up a little higher, because remember, Peter couldn't come down here on the day of Pentecost and just start with 1 Peter or 2 Peter add to your faith virtue. No, he kept growing in grace and knowledge. And then in 2 Peter, he comes forth and says, having the divine nature of God, add these things to you, okay? So it's a journey. Excuse me, same way with Brother Branham. Brother Branham had to come to the stage of adoption because only the Lord Jesus had come to that place. And for us to become adopted, there has to be, the word has to be open so that we can receive that word. Because really, I think most people in the message think that it's just going to be, and I've always told you this, that I think people go, well, the Lord's coming right here. And that's when he's coming. No, if he's coming on that day, everybody's going to be ready right there at that day. God didn't pick a day to come back for the rapture, for this body change. God didn't pick a day. Brother Brown didn't say if we're waiting on the day that God's coming back. He said, God's waiting on the readiness of the bride. So he knows the bride's going to get ready on that day. And that's next Thursday for most of you that want to know, get ready. It's actually the Hindu Festival of Lights. So anyway, but no, just tell you, but there's no red letter day on God's calendar. So he's waiting on us to come to a place. Then he's going to come. He's going to come because we're ready. He's not going to come before. He's going to come when that last one, and I don't like that word, comes in. Because these people come in, these people go out. Amen? But when they come in and stay. When the last one has been birthed into the body of Christ. Because remember, and don't get me wrong, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Everybody's waiting for somebody to come from out there on the street to come in to be the last one. Some of you, me included, could be at sanctification and been that way for 10 years. And one day, God will strike that, give me the new birth, and I'll be the last one and we'll be gone. Because he's not going to bring a baby in and then leave them out of here, because if not, they got to die. Right? You everybody understand what I'm saying? If not, they got to die real quick and then be resurrected back up. And that can happen because that happened to the the thief on the cross, you know. He wasn't in paradise. I mean, he wasn't dead long. He was in paradise. Went to paradise and then he went up with Jesus. But and that can happen, but I don't want it to happen that way. We want it to be that we come in, we get born again, and we become a body, and then we look for the last one. And I don't look for the last one out there. June and I were talking about coming down the road about our church doesn't do a lot of outreach, community outreach. We just don't do that. But people come in here, and I want to get these people birthed. Okay? Brother Brown said, be salty. Be salty, and it'll draw them in. Okay? But, you know, we're compelled to sometimes go out in the highways and byways and the hedges and all that and compel them to come in. But I believe that's those people right there. You see that big old long list of people? That's some people that are kin to me and kin to you and they're your family. We're going to compel them to come in, okay? Because I want them to make it. I ain't selfish, but I want my kids to make it. I want your kids to make it, but I want my kids to make it. But you gotta have somebody. You can't. What I'm saying is, you can't come to adoption on your own. You can't do that. There's a plan and a purpose of God that brings us through this statue of a perfect man, which makes it one of the most important to me. One of the most important things that is so ill taught. Well, you know, you just get everything when you believe. I don't see that. Peter didn't get everything when he got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and he didn't jump out and say, all right, now you got to add to your virtue knowledge. No, it was a few years he went through. Now, he might have had virtue, silver and gold have I none, and all those things, but he had to come to a place where God quickened those virtues and he could put them in the eternal word of God. Amen? There was a time, there was a growth period in there, and that's where all of us, we got a growth period. That's why that we don't need to be lax, because we've had 50 years to try to get into this growth period, and you know, we've stunted our growth. We've stunted our growth by what we eat. Isn't that right?
Why would the manna
Right, right, if it wasn't important. Then you can see, though, as he goes past that, and you look in the, excuse me, Church Age books talking about overcoming, I believe that this message helped him see where he was. Because if he was here and preaching to us all this, see, he couldn't give you the headstone. It's not been revealed to him, right? Martin Luther, great Martin Luther, started the Reformation, but I doubt that he ever taught on the statue of a perfect man. Because he didn't need it. They didn't have to come to adoption in Luther's age. Okay? Because adoption puts you at a place to where God can give you the ability to do the speaking. Give you the ability. It's going to be a collective leaving out of here, but it's not going to be a collective revelation. It's an individual revelation with God. Sitting in this room today, they could be, ever how many people, 20 or so people, we could be in all different levels. But if you put yourself in a place to grow, go to the right restaurant. And I'm not saying here's the right place to be, but I'm saying I feel that this is the right place to be because we got teachers, preachers, all of us have a mindset. It's like when we were preaching down at Brother Matthew's, and remember after the service, he said, this is what we have to come to. And I wasn't preaching on statue of perfect man at that point. I was preaching on adoption in stages. Well, see, that's our call in the end time is to not to just adopt men. Because there's more sisters in here than there are men. It's to adopt you so that you have the ability to speak in God's stead. Because the Son of Man is not just a man made, you know, Son of Man. It's God made flesh, God in human flesh, not God in a man or God in just men. Because remember what I said, throw all of us into the feminine part because we're all feminine in the body of Christ. So we all have feminine traits when it comes to Jesus Christ being our head. Okay, brother? That's right. A lot of people teach it like this. Well, they physically turn it over. Right. Sure. That's right. Let's go to 2 Peter. Let's read that. In case somebody wants to question it or has a question. Because really, excuse me, really, it's spelled out right here in the Bible. Not what the prophet said, in the Bible. Because see, Brother Brown does make a statement. See, you've come all the way up here and haven't got the Holy Ghost yet. Well, look, remember one thing. When you're born again, you're a what? B-A-B-Y, baby. And the illustration I made at Brother Bray's was, good grief, I got his keys, and Bob gave me the keys, and I handed it to a little boy in front of him that was probably, what, 8, 9, 10 years old, maybe. I said, here, go drive Bob's car. And everybody's, whoa, no. Why not? He's got two eyes like Bob's got. He's got two ears like Bob's got. He has the same physical features as Bob. He can even be a daddy. Right? He has the ability. But now why don't you give him the keys? Character development. He's a son, just like Bob's a son. He's a human, just like Bob's a human. He actually probably has more intelligence than Bob has. Now, did I say that down there? Down there, I might have said that. But anyway, and he could have more intelligence. Really, honestly. He could have more intelligence, human intelligence, than Bob. But what makes that boy different from him? Even the Bible says the eternal Godhead can be understood by the things we see. I have not been given the ability to drive a car until I'm 16 years old. The law, not the law. It's not really the law. It's what man has set down and said, look, this person has matured to this spot, so therefore they have the ability to do this. Right? Because remember, they took the drinking age, and I'm just using it for an example, sorry. But when I was growing up, the drinking age was 18. Then they saw all these people getting, somebody made that assumption that they were able to drink at 18 years old. Then they had a lot of killings and people getting killed in car wrecks, so they moved it to 21. See, that's man. But see, God doesn't do that. God knows exactly what you need when you need it. All right? He doesn't change his law. That's what David said. I'm glad your precepts are forever. They're settled. So the same thing with that little boy. Now, why didn't I? He's a human. Why can't he drive Bob's car? Well, we'll all in our brain go, he's not mature enough. Well, now, God's word is, if you're not mature enough to be temperate, if you still got a temper, God's not going to birth that temperance into you until you come to the maturity that you can handle that. Power without character. The boy had the power. He was a human. He could see, he could talk, he could speak. He had the power to drive that car. But he didn't have the character to drive it. Now, that boy's never going to change in his characteristics. Eyes, ears, you understand? He's a human. You can see. He looks just like Bob. You got it? But his growth development, now remember, he was born a son. That's where you tell him, Luis, you got to be born a son. Listen right here. Let's read this real quick. Verse 3. According as his divine power. Now, there's only one kind of power of God, and that's divine. All right? I'm sorry. Second chapter, first verse. Second Peter, first chapter. I'm trying to hurry because it's almost time to leave. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life. See, we're talking life lessons here. And godliness. Now, how can you be godly without being born again? Because look. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, he hadn't started in the virtues yet. But you got to have the divine nature of God before he starts into the virtues. Now, what is the divine nature of God? The new birth. Your old nature is not divine. There's nothing about you divine without God. Okay? So Peter's telling us right here, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Look, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, there's the key right there. Those three words. And beside this, what? Beside the new birth that you have now, right? And beside this, giving all diligence. In other words, you got to go to work. You got to overcome. Add to your faith. See, it starts then in the virtues. Besides this, read them that. Brother Luis, read them that. Those three words. And besides this, what? Peter's saying you got to have the new birth. And besides this divine nature, this is what you got to have. Very simple in Scripture if you'll break it down. And besides this, if this is what Peter's talking about, and besides this, add. All right? So there's the answer there. We better go. Richard Marlowe's going to give me an evil look when we get upstairs. That's right. Being born again.